So there are trips here that you took. You made a salt across the Rhine.
Mm-hmm.
A story that would go along with that, that would have been in 1945, I believe, mm-hmm. January.
Mm-hmm.
You went across the Siegfried Line.
There's good stories about crossing the Rhine. Nothing specific about the Siegfried. It was pretty well decimated and didn't have many troops in it. There is a very famous occurrence when other troops captured the bridge at Remagen. They captured this bridge, which was theoretically supposed to have been destroyed, but that didn't work. And the Americans ran across it and made that assault crossing of the Rhine. I don't think I could have done that. It was an amazing thing. But we made the first assault crossing of the Rhine. In other words, we got in boats and went across the Rhine near Frankfurt, Darmstadt, went across the Rhine, established a bridgehead across the Rhine. Then the engineers built a bridge across there, and that was an assault crossing there, just like at Normandy. That was where the famous picture of George Patton relieving himself on the Rhine, you know, that famous picture. I could see that from a distance. I didn't know it was the general. I knew it was some smart aleck guy out there doing that, but it was George. It was a general. That guy. What a guy. What a guy.
What did you think of the Germans as soldiers, as fighters?
There is, again, a case that individuals will remember things differently. And I have no quarrel with anybody who remembers things differently from what I do. But I have said more than once that I remember them as wonderful soldiers. I hold them in great respect. We continued across Germany. We wound up in Czechoslovakia. My outfit did. We weren't supposed to be there, we now know, but we didn't then. And we came face to face with the Russians, who were supposed to be. They were supposed to be there. But the experience with the Russians was difficult. As soon as we disentangled ourselves from the Russians, which left a remarkable experience in your mind, we were taken back into Germany itself. And the chaos after the war in Germany is hard to describe. There were the so-called slave laborers in Germany, you know, that come from all over. They brought them in to work in factories and things like this. After the war, they just went wherever they wanted to go. There were returning soldiers, German soldiers there. There were an amalgamation of all kinds of people starving to death. And it became a chaotic situation. Someone, I presume Eisenhower or General Clay, whomever it was, organized the thing of Burgermeisters. These were American, usually lower grade officers, who were established as the authority in this little village. The idea was not to wreak any havoc on the Germans, but to try to bring some sort of coherence out of this chaos. People running around stealing, murdering, so on. So I became a Burgermeister. We all did.
Is that like the mayor then?
The mayor is the Burgermeister.
Yeah.
We had authority, and not only did we have the authority, we had the troops to back it up. And I think we did a good job bringing some kind of coherence out of that chaos. I was very proud of what little I did as a Burgermeister in Germany. Again, there was no problem with German civilians. They knew that they were in real trouble. They didn't know what they were going to eat. They didn't know what the coming winter would bring. And they were extremely cooperative. I gained a great respect for them. I said, here these people have been beaten to death, and yet their whole idea is to rebuild their country. It was interesting. I received a letter not too long ago. You know, I'd been back to the D-Day 50th anniversary. Mm-hmm. We got into conversation with some guys that were obviously old German soldiers. Now, the French wouldn't allow the German soldiers to come to the 50th anniversary of D-Day, but they did anyway. So this must have been where I'd gotten to know these soldiers. We yacked around like old soldiers do, whether they're Americans or Germans. Sometime after that, I got a letter from this fellow, and it was written in pretty good English. far better English than I write in German. And the sense of it was, I saw you in Normandy, and we had a conversation, and it was good to see you, and I want you to know that I hold no animosity. I'm not angry. I want us to be friends. So I thought that pretty good. I showed it to some people at the German-American Society here. Down in El Reno, Oklahoma, there was a POW camp. Many of the German soldiers who died in captivity are buried there. There's a German cemetery, and each year the German-American Society has a Memorial Day down there. So they asked me to be the speaker down there at the Memorial Day. I was very honored.
Mm-hmm.
So my recollection of the Germans is good. Now, you can say, what about the awful things that we read about at Dachau and Orlandorf and Plauen? I don't argue that. But the experience I had was one of me fighting you, not any of this other thing. And I have great respect for them, civilian and military.
You were soldiers taking direction, and that was your job.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you didn't have any animosity because of them individually. It was an overall country that had invaded, and you were trying to push them out and push them back.
Yeah.
And so I can see that.
Well,
the soldiers wouldn't be mad, but this is what we do, as barbaric as we are.
It's barbaric. But, John, I don't want to mislead you. There are other soldiers that came away with different feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I think I speak for the majority, but not everyone.
Well, there are those who fought because of Japan and their invasion, and some veterans will not buy anything if they can.
Right.
That comes from Japan.
I understand that.
Right.
I don't argue.